Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill, a News Talk original podcast.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Now, this week in a request, and I'm very happy to take requests. I've got about 20 lined up, though, sadly, so apologies to people who might be waiting for me to cover it, but I will get to them. Many of them are fantastic suggestions, very happy to get them. And my email is laoneil with two L's at tcd.ie. That's my work email in Trinity. And do please send me in a request. And if I can feel I can cover it, I will. I'll do my best. And this one came in. The person didn't want their name read out, so that's fine. This is the science of Ozempic, Mounjaro, GLP-1, and more broadly, the science of peptides. Now, anybody who watches sort of developments with cosmetics and supplements and all sorts of things will have come across this phrase, peptides. And this person says, well, look, what is a peptide? And what are these peptides doing? And they'd spotted that things like GLP-1 and Ozempic are peptides. So is it all the same and whatever? So I'm very happy to cover it because it does get a bit complicated. And there's an awful lot of nonsense, let's get that out there, of peptides doing certain things, allegedly claims on them, slowing down aging, making your muscles stronger, speeding up recovery after injury, boosting your mood. You'll see all this, you know, people trying to flog peptides to do these things. And the truth is, most of that stuff is maybe true, but there's limited evidence to support a lot of it. Where there is massive evidence, of course, is the semaglutides, which are peptides. And that would include things like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. They're all words we all now know. Isn't it amazing? Everybody seems to have heard, of course, heard of these things because they're being used. So commonly, and they work, that's the sound end of the world of peptides, by the way. Millions of people are on them for diabetes and weight loss. They're the two big things that you take semaglutides for. And then they've been in the news, and maybe this person has seen this as a new member. It's called retatrutide. It's been given the name Godzilla. That's having a huge effect on weight loss, and it's much more stronger than the other ones. And I'm going to mention that a little bit as well as we go along. Now, of course, what's very important is these ones, the things like Ozempic and so on, they're very tightly regulated. They've been examined by the FDA in America and the EMA in Europe, and they've been approved for use, which means that all the evidence is there, clinical trials, both on efficacy and safety. So we're on very firm ground with them, hence the approval of them. The other ones, very few have been approved and very few have been examined in that way, and very few have been proven to work and be safe. So you've got to be careful. Now, let's define what peptides are. Well, biochemists, and I am a biochemist at heart, are very familiar with peptides. They're bits of proteins. So proteins are made up of things called amino acids, and you have 20 different amino acids in your body, and they're think of them like beads on a string, and they all get attached together like a big thing on a necklace, and then it twists into a shape, and that's a protein. Okay, so proteins are made of a string containing loads of amino acids. Now, because there's 20, it's very complicated. Each amino acid is different. You might have one type here, a second type there, two types next, you know. So you end up with this huge diversity of proteins. And remember, in your body, proteins are critical because they do all the various things because they're all so different, made of the different amino acids. They'll digest your food. They're collagen. That's a protein in your joints. Antibodies in your immune system. They're proteins as well. So these really are the workhorses of life, and they're made of all these amino acids all stitched together on a chain and then folded up into a shape that gives the protein its function. And because there's 20 amino acids available, it's like you've made 10,000 different types of necklaces, really, with different combinations of these amino acids. And you end up with all this diversity and this functional diversity in terms of what these things do. So collagen, for example, is over 3,000 amino acids all stitched together and wrapped up into this structure, right? 3,000 of them, right? Now, the semaglutides, they usually have only 39 amino acids. And they're called a peptide because a peptide is a fragment taken from a bigger protein. And that's all that really defines them. They're short little stretches of amino acids. Now, the name came from when they were first sort of configured, I suppose you might say. Proteins were digested. Now, your stomach is full of enzymes to digest proteins as part of your diet to release the amino acids to use to build other proteins. And you break down a protein in your diet to provide amino acids for protein synthesis. And there's all these enzymes in your stomach that digest that, right? And one of them is called pepsin. And they use pepsin to digest up proteins, and they call the product a peptide because it came from pepsin. That's where the name came from. And so the definition of a peptide is they're much shorter than proteins with less amino acids, and it's this shortness that defines them. Now, let's look at the semaglutides, and I've kind of covered them before. They are based on a natural hormone called GLP-1. And GLP-1 is made by your stomach after a meal. It makes you feel full, stops you eating, right? It's a natural thing. So in other words, why do you stop eating? Because you make GLP-1. It goes to your brain and decreases your desire for food. That's the first thing it does. The second thing it does is the food is in your stomach now. It slows down its movement through the stomach to be digested. So that makes sense as well, biologically. Slow it down and gets broken down. And then also it goes to the pancreas and boosts insulin. And it makes insulin work. Now, you need insulin to absorb glucose from your diet. So it's very clever. Isn't biology a wonderful thing? The complexities, that's what drew me to it in the first place, how elegant this is. So you eat food, your stomach begins to fill up. That sends a signal to release the GLP-1 that goes to your brain and says, stop eating. Secondly, goes to your pancreas, get more insulin into the system, slow everything down to allow for digestion. And that was all discovered by scientists just working on what's going on when you eat food. Now, drug companies realized this could be a drug. We could use this for obesity, because if you give people a drug based on GLP-1, they might need as much, first of all, and they might begin to lose weight. And then secondly, first of all, it was used for diabetes, because people with type 2 diabetes, they stop responding to their own insulin and their blood glucose goes through the roof and causes all the problems. And again, GLP-1 helps insulin do its job. So these were used then for diabetics as well. They also realized, though, that the natural hormone, you could use that, inject that into yourself if you like. It's very unstable. It gets broken down very quickly in the body. And that's natural as well, because you don't want too much of this stuff. So instead, they managed to stabilize it, and they could modify it in various ways. And that's what Ozempic and Mounjaro and Wegovy are. They're based on the natural peptide GLP-1, but it's been stabilized to make it more longer lasting. And when you take it then, it goes into your brain and decreases your craving for food. And that's the big effect. People on it say that noise to eat. You know, a friend of mine who's on it said to me, he used to be drawn towards the donuts and now he's not anymore, you know. So it seems to decrease this craving for food, and that means you begin to lose weight, which is marvellous. And remember, being overweight and obese is very bad for your health. Many people have tried many ways to lose weight and failed. So it's a huge godsend for many people who want to lose weight. This has become the biggest drug class ever, because these things are so common. It generated $8.7 billion in sales, Mounjaro, in the first quarter of this year. I'll say that again. The first 3 months of 2026, it made nearly $9 billion for Lilly, the company that makes it. So there's a massive market for this, and it's bringing all these health benefits, which is great. And remember, as I say, it is a peptide. They are peptides, all of them, slightly different here and there, but they're the same thing really, with 39 amino acids attached together to make Mounjaro. So it's a peptide. Now you have to inject it, because if you eat these peptides, guess what? Well, there's the enzymes in your gut will break it down. So therefore they are injectable. And that's okay. People don't mind injecting to some extent, but they're working very hard to make one that can be taken as a tablet. And Novo Nordisk launched a brand new one, which is a more stable version, right? And this one can be taken orally. It can be taken, you know, as a tablet, right? And it goes into your stomach, and there's an ingredient they've added to it, and it's called SNAC, S-N-A-C, it's a chemical. And this stops it getting digested and lets it cross into your bloodstream from the stomach. So it's the SNAC combination with Ozempic that makes this viable as a tablet, right? Only 1% gets across, by the way. The rest gets digested. But even still, that's enough. Now, the dose is higher to get more into the system, but the SNAC component is really important for stabilizing this and allowing it to get across into your circulation. And I have a little joke here. You can snack away if you're on SNAC and Ozempic. That's probably not a great joke, but still. That combination, though, allows it to be orally active. Now, if it does come in tablet form, that means more people might use it. It's easier to use than the injectables. So the future of those drugs is tablets rather than injectables, is the idea. And Lilly, now that's made by Novo, that one. And Lilly have just announced another one that's oral for them. They're calling it Foundia. And that is, again, an oral version. So we'll see these coming on the market. Now, the hope is the prices will drop, because making this might be a bit cheaper. Ultimately, of course, the big issue is getting access to these. And very often, people who are in lower socioeconomic groups need them, you know, and they can't afford them. So the hope is the price will start to come down because of all this. And certainly when they come off patent, they'll come down. And then the other new one to mention is Retatrutide that I mentioned, made by Eli Lilly. And that had a huge effect in the trials. People lost 29% of their weight over 68 weeks on that. Now, you know, that's a year and a half or whatever it is. They lost a huge amount of weight, which was great. And remember, the weight you're losing is usually what's called visceral fat, which is the more toxic type of fat in your body that's irritating your body. So it's really effective at getting rid of the fat tissue that's so troublesome, I suppose. And that 29% is the highest ever for any of these products. Mounjaro only gets to 20%. So it's been called the Godzilla of weight loss drugs. And there's a prediction this could take over the whole market. You never know. Be huge. Now, why is it working so well? Well, it turns out it's got two other components. It hits more than one thing. And the combination of the things being hit seem to make it really, really effective. So we're going to see more powerful ones. Of course, it's still being tested for safety because that amount of weight loss could be troublesome. But still, it's looking good so far. It seems pretty safe. And remember, you should only take these drugs under medical guidance because they're very powerful. So GPs are really important here because people shouldn't be taking them willy-nilly. You should certainly not take them if you aren't overweight because that's the one that's approved for, you know. We don't know what these drugs will do in people of normal weight. They might have some side effect, remember, haven't been tested. So again, a bit of caution is needed with these types of drugs, and make sure you talk to your GP if you want to go on them. He'll keep an eye on you and make sure everything is okay. And that applies to this set of drugs anyway. Even though they've been approved, they still need to be used carefully. Now, that especially applies to all these other peptides. And it's a bit of a free-for-all out there at the moment, right? There's loads of different peptides available online. All these claims that they do things. It first began in bodybuilders, actually, where there were peptides that allegedly could increase muscle mass. They were based on a natural hormone called growth hormone. Peptides derived from them. And they do work a bit, but they can be very dangerous. So you'll be careful. You don't want to be bulking up loads of muscle in response to a peptide. You know, it can cause all kinds of untoward effects. And then the other claims around some of these peptides to increase recovery from injury, slow down aging, you know, that's not a big claim. There's no evidence for that. Or if there is any evidence, it's very limited. And certainly at the moment, none of these have been approved for these uses because the evidence isn't strong enough that's been given to the agency, shall we say. There will be evidence down the line that some of these things will work. And of course, some companies are very clever. They don't label them as medicines because then they can't be sued for this. Sometimes they're labeled as being for research use. And that's one to watch for because that means it hasn't been tested fully yet. So be very careful with that label. But when you see that, it rings an alarm bell because it's not being claimed to be a medicine. So the company can't be, you know, taken to court over this in a way. So be very careful on how these things are labeled. And there are valid worries that this world of unregulated peptides may well do more harm than good. And remember, the other thing to say is there's some evidence actually they make inflammation worse. They might increase the risk of cancer even. And also, you don't know what's in them. And they've been studied, and sometimes they're full of bits of bacteria. Can you believe it? You don't want to be injecting yourself with that. There's also some evidence of heavy metals being in them, contaminated with things. The other thing to watch for is the dose might be wrong on the label because they haven't been made properly, you know. And all these things bring potential dangers from the use of these peptides. So proceed cautiously. The best advice always is, if the claims look too good to be true, they probably are too good to be true. Secondly, go for medical advice on this with your GP to see if there's anything in these. And usually there won't be. And the GP will be cautious because the GP doesn't want to see you getting harmed. It's got so bad, I've noticed, actually, they're having what I call peptide raves in America now, where you turn up and a guy in a white coat comes out and starts injecting people with these peptides. It's outrageous because, you know, that's a highly risky thing to be doing is the overall message. If anything great does come out of it, they will get approved and they will be used for these things that are being claimed, you know. So again, caution when it comes to any peptides, really. Less caution is needed when it comes to the semaglutide class of peptides because they've been well regulated, well examined and shown to have all these benefits if you use them under medical supervision. So it's a funny business this, because before the advent of Ozempic and Mounjaro, overall peptides were seen as a bit dodgy. Then these come along, very good, very useful. So now they've made peptides more respectable, but they've got to be regulated carefully and be very careful what you use in terms of using peptides. So there you have it. That request came in, and thank you very much for the request. And that was The Science of Peptides. And thanks as ever for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.